Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something really fascinating. It's this emerging link between our gut microbiome, that whole world inside us, and multiple sclerosis, MS.
It's a connection that's really starting to capture attention.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So if you're curious about how gut health might tie into a complex neurological condition like MS, well, you're in the right place. We're going to unpack how these trillions of microbes, you know, living in your gut, could be involved.
Mm-hmm. It really sits at this crossroads of neurology, immunology, and microbiome science. It's quite interdisciplinary.
Pulling things together that maybe didn't seem connected before.
Precisely. It's like finding missing puzzle pieces, and suddenly the picture starts to make a lot more sense.
Okay, so let's start with the basics, just to make sure everyone's on the same page. What is multiple sclerosis? What's happening in the body?
Right. So at its core, MS is a chronic autoimmune disease. Basically, your immune system, which is meant to protect you, sort of gets confused. It mistakenly attacks parts of your own central nervous system.
Okay, attacks what specifically?
Primarily the myelin sheath. That's the protective coating around your nerve fibers. Think of it like insulation on a wire. When that gets damaged, the signals between your brain and the rest of your body get disrupted, slowed down, or even blocked.
And that disruption, what does that look like in terms of symptoms? What might someone actually experience?
Well, it varies a lot from person to person because the damage can happen in different places. But common symptoms include things like muscle weakness, really persistent fatigue, the kind that rest doesn't fix. Also, vision problems, trouble with balance and coordination, numbness or tingling. Even cognitive issues like memory problems can occur.
It sounds incredibly challenging and personal in how it shows up.
It really is.
And I know there are different types of MS, right?
Yes, that's correct. The most common is called relapsing remitting MS script. With that form, people have periods, relapses, where symptoms flare up or new ones appear. Then they have periods of recovery or remission.
Okay.
There are also progressive forms where the disease tends to worsen more steadily over time, sometimes with relapses, sometimes without.
And globally, this is a significant issue.
Oh, absolutely. Estimates put it around 2.8 million people affected worldwide. And it tends to affect women more often than men, typically diagnosed between ages 20 and 50. So right in the prime of life, often.
Which has huge implications, of course.
Definitely.
Okay, now here's the jump. How does something happening way down in the gut potentially connect to the brain and immune system in MS? Seems distant.
It does seem distant, but think about it this way. Your gut is packed with trillions of microorganisms. Bacteria, viruses, fungi, the whole microscopic crew. This community, the gut microbiome, it doesn't just digest food. It actually plays a huge role in training and regulating your immune system.
Training it? How?
Well, a large portion of your immune cells actually reside in or around your gut. So they're constantly interacting with these microbes from a very early age. And there's this constant communication going on between the gut and the brain. It's called the gut-brain axis.
Right. I've heard that term, the gut-brain axis. So it's a two-way street.
Exactly. Bidirectional. Messages go both ways.
How does that communication actually happen? Is it nerves?
It involves several pathways. Nerves, yes, like the vagus nerve, but also hormones. And crucially, molecules produced by the gut microbes themselves. Things like short-chain fatty acids or SCFAs, those are generally beneficial, made when good bacteria digest fiber.
Okay.
And then there are other components like lipopolysaccharides, LPS, which are parts of certain bacterial cell walls and can be inflammatory. These molecules can get into your bloodstream, travel around, interact with immune cells everywhere, and some can even influence brain function directly.
Wow. So the gut isn't just sitting there digesting lunch. It's actively talking to the rest of the body, including the brain and immune system.
That's the key insight. It's a major regulatory hub.
So if that's the normal setup, what goes wrong in this communication system in someone with MS?
Well, the evidence is pointing towards a kind of imbalance or dysbiosis in the gut microbiome of people with MS. The types and amounts of certain bacteria seem to be different compared to people without MS.
Different how?
It seems there's often a shift. Some bacteria that are thought to promote inflammation might be more abundant, while other bacteria, the ones that tend to help suppress inflammation, might be less common. So the overall balance tips towards a more pro-inflammatory state in the gut, potentially fueling that autoimmune response we see in MS.
That's a huge shift in thinking. What's the actual evidence? Are there specific studies showing this?
Yes, there's some really compelling research now. A major study, for instance, from UCSF working with an international group, did a large comparison They looked closely at the gut microbes in hundreds of people with MS versus healthy controls.
And what did they find? Were there clear differences?
There were, quite consistent ones, actually. One of the key findings was having fewer of certain beneficial bacteria. A notable one is called Prevotella histicola.
Prevotella histicola. What's special about that one?
It's known for its anti-inflammatory properties. It seems to help calm the immune system down.
Okay, so less of the calming bacteria. What about the other side?
They saw an increase in bacteria that are generally considered pro-inflammatory. This included certain species within the Firmicutes and Actinobacteria groups. Those are broad categories, like families of bacteria.
And did this link to anything happening in the patient's immune systems?
Yes. Importantly, the presence of these pro-inflammatory types seemed to correlate with higher levels of immune activation markers in the blood of the MS patients.
So not just a difference in bugs, but a difference that seems connected to the underlying immune issue in MS.
Exactly. It strengthens the link.
And have other studies found similar things?
Yes. Another study specifically looked at children with MS. They found a similar pattern, fewer anti-inflammatory strains and more bacteria associated with inflammation. Finding this pattern across different age groups adds weight to the idea that these microbial shifts are genuinely relevant to MS.
Okay, so we're seeing this pattern, less Prevotella, more of these other types. But how? How could bacteria in the gut actually influence an attack on myelin in the brain? What are the proposed mechanisms?
Right, getting into the nitty-gritty. It seems to come back to those molecules we talked about. Take Prevotella histicola again. Preclinical work, mostly in animal models so far, suggests it can suppress autoimmune reactions.
How does it do that?
It appears to encourage the development of regulatory T cells, or Tregs. Think of Tregs as the immune system's peacekeepers. They help dial down excessive immune responses. At the same time, it seems to reduce the levels of inflammatory Th17 cells, which are known culprits in driving autoimmune diseases like MS.
So it's actively promoting balance in the immune system.
That's the idea. It's pushing the system away from attack mode.
Okay, that makes sense for the beneficial bacteria. What about the ones that seem to promote inflammation? How might they contribute?
There are a couple of potential ways some of these less friendly bacteria might damage the integrity of the gut lining.
Making it leaky. That leaky gut idea.
Precisely. If the gut barrier becomes more permeable, bacterial components like LPS can leak out of the gut and into the bloodstream. This triggers a low-grade systemic inflammation throughout the body. It puts the immune system on edge, basically.
On high alert.
Exactly. And in that heightened state, it might be more likely to mistakenly react against the body's own tissues, like myelin. There's also a concept called molecular mimicry.
Mimicry, like they look similar.
Yeah, the idea is that some parts of these bacteria might chemically resemble components of myelin. So the immune system, trying to target the bacteria, might get confused and attack the myelin too, because it looks similar.
Wow, okay, so it's potentially disrupting the gut barrier, and maybe even tricking the immune system through resemblance.
Those are some of the leading theories being investigated.
Is there evidence beyond just association, like showing these microbial changes can cause MS symptoms, at least in models?
Yes, and that's some of the most compelling evidence. Studies in animal models of MS are crucial here. Researchers have done experiments where they transfer the gut microbiota, the whole community, from mice that have MS-like symptoms into healthy mice.
And what happens?
The recipient mice, the ones that got the MS microbiome, often go on to develop MS-like symptoms themselves.
Whoa.
Conversely, if you treat the mice with interventions that promote a healthier microbiome, like giving them beneficial bacteria, you can often reduce the severity of their MS-like symptoms.
That really points towards a causal role, doesn't it? Not just correlation.
It strongly suggests it, yes. It shows that shifts in the microbiome can be sufficient to influence disease development or severity, at least in these models.
Okay, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Now, we know our lifestyles massively impact our gut microbes. How do things like diet and environment play into this whole MS-gut connection?
That's a really important angle. Our gut microbiome isn't fixed. It responds dynamically to what we eat, where we live, our exposures.
So diet is a big one.
Definitely. One study, for example, found a link between eating more red and processed meat and specific changes in gut bacteria, alongside an increase in those pro-inflammatory immune cells we mentioned.
So the food choices could be directly nudging the microbiome in a direction that influences MS risk.
That's the implication, yes. Diet seems to be a way we can potentially modulate this risk factor.
What about other environmental factors?
Geography seems to matter, too. Studies have noticed differences in the gut microbes of people living in urban areas, compared to rural areas.
Really? Why would that be?
It could be a combination of things. Differences in diet are likely part of it, but also maybe exposure to different microbes in the environment, pollution levels, lifestyle stress. It's complex. But the point is, these environmental factors shape our microbiome, which in turn shapes our immune system, potentially influencing MS susceptibility. It's this whole interplay between genes, environment, and microbes.
Right. It's not just one thing.
Never is with complex diseases.
So given all this potential influence, what about treatments? Can we actually use this knowledge to help people with MS? Are there microbiome-based therapies being explored?
Yes, and this is a very exciting and active area of research right now. Several approaches are being investigated.
Like probiotics.
Probiotics and prebiotics, yes. Probiotics are the beneficial live bacteria themselves. Prebiotics are essentially food for those good bacteria, like certain types of fiber. The goal is to deliberately shift the gut microbiome towards a more anti-inflammatory state by boosting the beneficial strains.
Are they zeroing in on specific strains that seem most helpful for MS?
Research is definitely working on that, trying to identify which specific bacteria, perhaps like Prevotella histicola or others that boost those TREG cells, might be most effective.
What about more drastic approaches like fecal transplants?
Fecal microbiota transplantation, or FMT, is definitely being looked at. That's where you transfer the entire gut microbial community from a healthy donor. It's still considered experimental for MS. It's not standard practice by any means, but some early pilot studies are exploring its potential. It's a powerful way to potentially reset the microbiome.
But probably not something people can easily access right now. What about more practical things?
Diet is probably the most accessible starting point. Focusing on increasing dietary fiber intake, lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, that feeds the beneficial bacteria and helps them produce those helpful SCFAs. Incorporating fermented foods might also be beneficial, as they can contain live microbes. Think yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi.
And maybe cutting back on certain things.
Yes, reducing processed foods, especially processed meats, seems prudent based on the associations we discussed earlier with inflammation.
Okay. And what about actually giving someone specific beneficial bacteria like that Prevotella? Is that being tried?
That's a very promising avenue. As we mentioned, the preclinical studies in animals looked good for Prevotella histicola, reducing MS-like symptoms. Now, the crucial next step is happening: clinical trials in humans. Researchers are testing the safety and effectiveness of using Prevotella histicola and other specific targeted bacteria as potential therapies for people with MS.
So we need to watch this space for trial results.
Absolutely. It's a really dynamic field. We're moving from observation to intervention.
It really feels like it, this whole conversation. It's just amazing to think that this hidden world inside us, our gut microbiome, could be so intricately linked to a neurological disease like MS. It changes the perspective completely.
It really does. It marks a significant shift in how we understand MS. We're moving beyond seeing it just as a disease of the central nervous system to recognizing the profound influence of the immune system and, importantly, the factors that tune that immune system with the gut microbiome right there at the center of it.
It broadens the picture dramatically.
Immense.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, maybe a final thought for everyone listening. If our gut microbes have this level of influence on something like neuroinflammation and autoimmunity, well, it just makes you wonder, doesn't it? What other conditions, maybe ones that seem totally unrelated today, might also have roots traced back to this incredible ecosystem within us?
That's the provocative question, isn't it? It opens up so many possibilities for future research and understanding health and disease in a more holistic way.
Absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for walking us through all of this today. Really illuminating.
My pleasure. It's an exciting area to discuss.